Now, for more reaction to that RTE story about the details of the Irish Water staff bonus scheme and the Sunday Business Post story about the senior coalition forces discussing the need to replace the chief executive of Irish Water, John Tierney, as well as the board of the utility, we've been talking to the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin. We also spoke about the current state of the Fianna Fáil party and about his questions for Gerry Adams and Sinn Féin in relation to the Maria Cahill case. But first, though, his reaction to the controversies surrounding Irish Water.
Nothing, if you like, personifies, if you like, the degree to which this whole debacle has alienated public opinion in relation to the whole water charges issue. And the idea that people will be getting up to 19% bonuses simply to ensure that bills go into a household, I think will anger people even more. And I think just, in my view, undermines the government's whole strategy in relation to the conception of Irish Water, which Fine Gael conceded of in 2009, the spending of 680 million euros to put in place the entity itself and the infrastructure. The minister who set it up, Fergus Dowd, has admitted it's an unmitigated disaster. And I don't agree that, you know, in terms of the scapegoating now of the CEO and the board, that's not a satisfactory response. That's not good enough. And the manner in which that is happening is absolutely unacceptable. In other words, an internal committee of Fine Gael apparently are demanding to see the board and the CEO before the Oireachtas does. It seems in this country now you must be accountable to the Fine Gael party and nobody else.
There's no way around the bonus thing, is there? As we're told, these are legal contracts, they can't be undone.
It could have been dealt with, and it could be dealt. The government needs to intervene here and say there will not be bonuses paid to employees in Irish Water.
If these employees have contracts, they have legal contracts, how can that be undone?
Well, I mean, who's authorised all of this? I mean, did Minister Hogan, was he aware of all of this from the beginning? Minister Dowd, the Taoiseach himself? Because the Taoiseach comes into the House and says, oh, no bonuses have been paid and there won't be a bonus culture. I mean, I don't know how many times the Taoiseach has said there wouldn't be a bonus culture. And yet this continues. And again, it's the absence of transparency, Richard. It's only now we learn the detail of this, despite all of the attempts in the Dáil to try and get answers. Remember, the government rammed this through the House last year with 2 or 3 hours debate, the entire legislation underpinning Irish Water. There was no opportunity afforded to deputies of all colours to tease these issues out. We found out about the consultancy costs through this station, John Tierney himself telling Sean O'Rourke about it. Again, the government wouldn't come clean on that before the local elections. And so it's a drip-drip feed, leak-leak, inability to be comprehensive and transparent about what's going on within Irish Water. That's unsatisfactory as well.
The government might say, well, part of the reason for this mess is that the government in which you were a minister in its memorandum of understanding with the Troika in 2010 signed up to charging for water by the end of the EU IMF programme period. And that meant that Irish Water was set up in haste, and that required agreement on key details, getting the people over, signing them up. And that includes the bonuses. And that's left this government and the consumers, if you like, burdened by considerable expense and inefficiency.
No, I wouldn't accept that at all. I mean, the Fine Gael party itself, long before the Troika, long before 2010, 2009 actually, published a document saying it would establish Irish Water. It names the company as Irish Water. It says it would bring all the assets of all the local authorities together. Simon Coveney wrote that document.
But the timetable was yours.
Well, no, the timetable was variable in terms of, there was no, we met the Troika years after they came in saying it's up to the government of the day to decide how they get to the deficit. And of course they could have delayed or indeed gone an alternative route. They didn't have to go this particular route.
Can we move on to the budget? Fianna Fáil said that they would have put any perceived available money into services rather than into tax cuts. But that too would have been contrary to the advice of the Fiscal Advisory Council and others, who said that the government should have stuck with the 2 billion euro adjustment. So your budget, as well as the government's budget, would leave us vulnerable to the increasing possibility that our growth figures could be well off the mark due to the growing crisis on the international markets and the possible threat to the Eurozone economy?
Well, I think our budget proposals would be more cautious than the government's, actually, because essentially the government is borrowing more money to give tax cuts on this occasion. We will be borrowing
You would have borrowed for services.
Yeah, but less so. But we would have, our argument was, and we still have issues around services insofar as we don't know what the real health estimate should be, because we haven't had any transparency in relation to the health budget, and we won't have the HSE service plan for some weeks yet. Even this morning, Richard, there's a story on the Sunday Business Post in relation to Hep C patients dying because they can't get access to a new life-saving oral treatment. And that, to me, should be our priority.
Can we turn to Fianna Fáil? A good local election result, bad European election result, and a poor record in the by-elections, most notably recently, Roscommon South Leitrim, concern within your own party about the party identity, and inevitably the fortunes of the party will be laid at your door. There's always going to be questions about your leadership. We can ask you about that in a minute. First, can we just hear what some members of your party had to say last night? They were speaking to our reporter Mark O'Flynn on their way into the Corgi Fáil dinner in Dublin.
I think political parties generally have to always look to see, you know, where the public is. Things are tough at the moment for people, so it's going to be a constant effort.
And do you think that the party can win back the confidence of the voters between now and the next general election?
Well, the party's constantly gaining. Their share of the vote is gaining in every election, but I wouldn't be complacent.
I think Fianna Fáil, the brand name, is still very damaged. Now, I did canvass in the by-election in Roscommon, and I felt that on the ground he was doing very well. But when it came to the day of the voting, it didn't, you know, what was on the ground didn't materialise. So very disappointing now, to be honest.
On the party itself, right, it has to carve out its identity. It has to know who it's speaking for.
And do you think that Micheál Martin is the right person to lead the party into that?
I think that he has to take the party by the scruff of the neck. I do think he has to take his TDs. They are very protective of their seats, that they're worried about the election. And I suspect that many of them are minding their seats rather than being much more strident in the Dáil. Micheál has to be stronger as a party leader. He has to pull them, you know, they have to pull up their socks.
Micheál Martin, do you think that he's the right person to lead the party?
Well, Micheál Martin was part of the Cowan government, and people will still identify with him and that government. I have to say I was very impressed with Sean Fleming and Micheál McGrath in their opposition to the budget and what they had to say. I would look on either of them as potential leaders.
Would you rather to see either of them as leaders instead of Micheál Martin?
Well, I don't want to see any dissension really in the party, but if it means that it's a new face, a new look, something, you know, that there's a change psychologically within, I think yes. No harm for change. Micheál has had his day, and I feel that a newer, fresher face and opinion might be better, you know.
Members of Fianna Fáil talking to Mark O'Flynn on their way into the Corgi Fáil dinner in Dublin last night. Micheál Martin is with us. Is there a view out there that you're, in a sense, you're there by default? There is no real dissent about your leadership, primarily because of inertia within the party.
No, I wouldn't accept that at all. I think the reaction I get from members across the country is a very positive one, actually, and indeed from the general public, particularly. I've been on the doorstep now for about 18 months in advance of the local elections and indeed in the various by-elections, and I've deliberately gone on the doorstep to listen to people, first of all, about their issues and their problems in their individual lives and how they see the future, and how we should focus our policies and our perspectives on politics, on the need for political change, and also obviously in terms of the economy and society into the future.
Is there a bit of an identity crisis? What do you stand for?
Well, Fianna Fáil, what do we stand for as a political party? We're a Republican party in the first instance, which does speak to the whole concept of equality of opportunity and fairness in our society. And that, in terms of education, for example, and in health, will mean into the future a very strong emphasis on both those areas. First of all, in education, that every child in this country, and this is something I think that's been with the party from its very beginning, every child, irrespective of class, colour or creed, gets an opportunity in this country to fulfil their potential.
But every party says that.
Well, it doesn't happen.
What separates you out from the other parties?
I don't agree with you in terms of education. I would think our position in education historically, and even now, for example, in terms of the current budget you just spoke about, the government is making priorities. This Fine Gael, for example, has decided to reward those on over 100,000 more than those on 17,000. So that is a big difference between where we would have gone and where Fine Gael are going. I think they're far more to the right than Fianna Fáil is.
You have questions for Sinn Féin. Mary Lou MacDonald says there's no cover-up within Sinn Féin in relation to the Maria Cahill case, and indeed the wider implications of that. Gerry Adams says he met Maria Cahill, but he didn't discuss the details of the rape, and that includes the identity of the rapist, and he didn't discuss the allegation of an IRA inquiry or kangaroo court in which Maria Cahill was intimidated and re-traumatised. So what specific questions do you have now for Gerry Adams? What should he answer?
Well, I think he should stop his continuing denial. He should stop trying to undermine the credibility of Maria Cahill. I met her over 2 years ago in November 2012. I found her presentation comprehensive and compelling. I believe Sinn Féin should come clean.
What questions do you have for them?
I mean, the idea that there wasn't an IRA investigation into this is wrong. He's not cutting me, or he's not. I mean, he should own up and accept that the IRA Sinn Féin's modus operandi was to silence victims, protect the institution of Sinn Féin IRA at all costs. He should apologise to Maria Cahill for what happened. He should acknowledge that he did speak to her about the abuse case. He's saying, I don't believe him when he says that he didn't discuss with Maria Cahill her case and the abuse that she was subjected to
in relation to other possible cases, what questions does Sinn Féin have to answer?
Well, I think the first person that I've seen in the last 48 hours to acknowledge that they had such investigations was Desi Ellis, Deputy Desi Ellis, and I think we need far more candid revelations of that kind from the Sinn Féin leadership, from Gerry Adams and from Mary Lou MacDonald, who should insist on a full and comprehensive statement in terms of what went on in relation to these internal investigations and how victims were treated.
Notwithstanding your genuine concern, obviously, for Maria Cahill and the need to get justice, are you not leaving yourself open to the charge of political opportunism? You're taking on this cause to some degree so that you can damage your political rivals. Well, it's about kicking Sinn Féin.
Well, I didn't invite this cause in many ways. I didn't go out seeking this. I mean, Maria Cahill asked to meet me in November 2012 and asked to meet others as well. And I met with Maria Cahill. And I must say we were taken back by the gravity of what she had to tell us about her story.
Well, you've called on Sinn Féin to answer questions, but you haven't been posing questions for the Public Prosecution Service in Northern Ireland or the Police Service in Northern Ireland.
Well, I have actually. I mean, I think this may be going to the Ombudsman's Office, so I'm conscious of that. And Maria Cahill has indicated that the entire manner in which this case was handled may very well end up in the Ombudsman's Office in Northern Ireland. And we did write to the Prosecutor's Office, just to simply make them aware that we were aware of the case, because that was Maria Cahill's original concern, that she was afraid that because of the political sensitivities involved in this and the personalities involved in this, that this case may not proceed in a manner that it should have proceeded in. And there were significant delays in relation to it.
So those agencies have some explaining to do,
I think, too. There are issues around that. There's no doubt about that in my own mind.
Micheál Martin, the leader of Fianna Fáil, talking to us a little earlier on.